Good morning. I want to thank you, Joyce and Camilla, for the music this morning. And that new song to me. So, we are halfway through our 2-year Bible study entitled Living Beyond Yourself, Exploring the Fruit of the Spirit. The words you will be hearing often this morning are self and spirit. That may confuse you because you know that today's topic is peace. Please just bear with me. It's going to be a bit of a review, but it will tie in. Self has to do with the desires of the sinful nature, and spirit has to do with the desires of the Spirit of God. When it comes to the word self, the world and the Word of God differ. The world says you need to put yourself first. If you don't love yourself, you can't love anyone else. Doing things that makes you happy boosts your self-esteem as well as your mood. It's a win-win. Pamper yourself. You deserve it. Galatians 5, verses 16 to 18. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other. So you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. These verses tell us that the desires of self and spirit are in conflict with each other, which brings us to the topic of today's message, peace, the absence of conflict. The peace we will be looking at today is twofold. It is peace with God and the peace of God. Galatians 5, verses 22 to 25 includes our theme verse. It will be on the screen if you'd like to join along. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is described as one fruit with 9 graces of Christian character. It cannot be produced by yourself, no matter how sincerely you try. It is the transforming work of the Spirit of Christ in you. Philippians 4, verses 4 to 7 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You might be saying, I know, I've heard that before, but it's easier said than done. I'm naturally an anxious person. That's just the way I am. I was born that way. I lose my temper quickly. My whole family is the same way. God knows me. He understands me. He made me this way. I try, but I'm not perfect. I'm only human. I'm a work in progress. God's not finished with me yet. Someday, but not today. And you're right, except for 2 words. I try. And as long as it's you doing the trying to obey God's word, you are depending on yourself to live the Christian life. You're not depending on the Spirit of Christ in you. You are striving in the power of self, which is fruitless. But the power of the Spirit of God is fruitful. According to the dictionary, peace is a state of order, unity, harmony, tranquility, rest, and reconciliation. These words reminded me of the garden before the fall. The Garden of Eden was a place of order, harmony, unity, tranquility, and rest. All was good and peaceful. Adam and Eve lived in the presence of God and were free to eat from any tree except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when they did, they would surely die. Instead of obeying God's warning to protect them from knowing good and evil, Adam and Eve chose to believe Satan's lie, to be like God, knowing good and evil. So they ate the forbidden fruit, and as a result of their pride to be like God and their unbelief in God, sin entered them. And with it came the twofold death, both spiritual and physical, to all men, because all have sinned. So, man became spiritually dead to God, alive to sin, eternally separated from God's presence, independent, and an enemy of God. Peace with God is lost. Forgiveness of sin and reconciliation is needed. 700 years before Jesus' birth, it was prophesied by Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The Apostle Paul clearly describes God's plan of reconciliation in his letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, verses 19 to 22. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds, because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. About 10 years ago, a dear Christian friend introduced me to Andrew Murray's writings. He was born in Scotland and lived from 1828 to 1917. He has written over 200 books and was a teacher and a pastor in South Africa. He talks about twofold and fullness. For example, he describes salvation as a twofold deliverance, a deliverance out of and a deliverance into, out of bondage and toil into freedom and rest. Faith in both deliverances are needed for the fullness of salvation. Satan would have us settle for being delivered out of, but not delivered into. I will be comparing the Israelites' deliverance out of bondage to Egypt into freedom in Canaan, the promised land, to the Christians' deliverance out of bondage to sin and death, into freedom and fullness of life in Christ, the promised one. Deuteronomy 6, 20 to 23. Moses, speaking to the Israelites, says, in the future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you. Tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders, great and terrible, upon Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. He brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land that he promised on oath to our forefathers. He brought us out to bring us in, and both are needed for fullness. On their journey, Israel had to cross two bodies of water, the Red Sea and the River Jordan. Both were necessary to cross in order to enter into the promised land. Both speak of death, burial, resurrection, life, freedom, victory, baptism. Mark chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. John the Baptist, referring to Jesus, said, "And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The journey begins with the Israelites, who had lived 400 years in bondage to Egypt and were powerless to deliver themselves, and the Christian, who had lived in bondage to sin and was powerless to deliver himself. God delivers out of bondage by the blood of an innocent substitute. The Israelites were saved from death when the Lord passed over the households who applied the blood of a lamb to the doorposts. It was an act of God. The Christian is saved by faith in the shed blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God, on the cross. It is also an act of God. The Red Sea. For the Israelites, it speaks of God's miraculous separation of water. Israel crosses on dry land, out of bondage, into freedom, victory, and new life. For Pharaoh and his army, it was death and burial. God conquered Israel's enemies. The Red Sea for the Christian is your time of conversion. You're convicted of sin and repent. You identify with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. You receive Jesus as your Savior, are redeemed, forgiven. You become a child of God. You have eternal life and reconciliation. You have peace with God. Christ's death and resurrection conquers the power of sin, Satan, and death. God is with the Israelites in the wilderness. Moses was with them, leading and interceding on their behalf. God's own presence was with them, day and night in the pillars of fire and smoke. God graciously provided for them manna and water from the rocks, but they were not content. They had his laws on tablets, but they were powerless to overcome their unbelief and self-will. They had the glory of the tabernacle, the provision of forgiveness of sin, but they kept falling short. They were always wanting, never satisfied, grumbling and complaining. They were out of Egypt, but Egypt was not out of them. Their hearts and minds were still under the power and influence of Egypt. God proved his love and faithfulness over and over, but they kept rebelling. Only two of the 12 sent to survey the promised land brought back a good report, believing God would help them conquer the giants in Canaan. A journey that should have taken only weeks lasted 40 years. Their pride, unbelief, and unfaithfulness to God prevented them from entering into his rest. Hebrews 3, verses 7 to 11. "So, as the Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, and for 40 years saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation, and I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. God is with the Christian in the wilderness. You know Jesus as your Savior. He is with you always. His Spirit dwells within you. His word is written on your heart. You are holy and righteous in His sight. You are a member of His body, the church, and in fellowship with one another. You are delivered out of the world, but the world is not out of you. The world's way of life is still alive in your hearts and minds. You know God's word, but are powerless to overcome your self-will. You're led astray by anxieties, fears, anger, blame, judgment, pride, unbelief, jealousy, selfishness, complaining, criticizing, unfaithfulness, unforgiveness. Repenting and turning away back and forth is the way of life in the wilderness. For some, the time in the wilderness is short. For others, it's 10, 20, 30, 40 years. Some will even die in the wilderness, never knowing God's rest. You know you have peace with God, but something is missing. The inner peace of God. Self and spirit cannot occupy the same place in your heart. They are in conflict with each other, causing unrest. Colossians 3, verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. Could it be that self is ruling in your heart, causing unrest? Let us consider Jesus' words from Luke 9, verse 23. Jesus is speaking. Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. When Jesus agonized in the Garden of Gethsemane over whose will to follow, his self-will or his Father's will, his answer was, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus gave up his self-will to death on the cross, and that brings us to the River Jordan. The River Jordan for the Israelites represents the cutting off. The rivers upstream were miraculously cut off by God. Israel crossed over on dry land. A monument of 12 stones was left at the bottom of the Jordan by Joshua, representing the Israelites themselves buried. Another monument of 12 stones was left on the opposite shore, representing new life. It was also the place of circumcision, the cutting off of flesh or self. The River Jordan for the Christian represents Christ's baptism of the Spirit, where Christ himself was baptized and the Spirit descended from heaven like a dove and rested on him. He was then led by the Spirit into the desert to be tested. When the Christian by faith, led by the Holy Spirit within, applies Christ's death and resurrection to himself, he joins with Paul in saying, from Galatians 2, verse 20, excuse me, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Canaan for the Israelites is a study in itself for another time, no pun intended. Canaan for the Christian is the dwelling place of God's people in Christ, the promised one. He brought us out to to bring us in to himself, giving you both peace with God and the peace of God in you. That is fullness. Canaan is the place of love, joy, peace, hope, strength, and courage to face the giants you will face every day in this world. Your triune God of love has gone above and beyond what you could ever imagine to empower and equip you to live beyond yourself. As you live by the Spirit, are led by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit, and are filled with the Spirit. I would like to close with Paul's prayer to the Ephesians, and then we will listen to a song that is an invitation to the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. To God be the glory. Amen.